Rich, thanks again.
Hey, Steve, it was my pleasure. And as I told you at the start of the NHC, I'm in the bullpen. You just call in the right hander whenever you need me. And I was happy to participate. And I really thank you and Peter for doing such a great job. And you know what? It's so much fun participating with you folks. And the hours and hours of coverage, Steve. I have people emailing me and texting me and asking me, how does he do it? How do you guys do it for 8-plus hours a day? Incredible.
It just sort of moves of its own volition. It's hard for it not to just keep going, because there's always something to talk about. There's always a development. There's a race that is literally, you know, coming up next. Then if there is a lull, there's a stake coming up at certain points of the day. There's guests that you can reel in, whether it's a player that's involved in the contest, or whether it's, people that are putting on the show, whether it's industry stakeholders of one variety or another. I mean, it's so easy to do it, and just let the action speak for itself, and that's what happens. And it's gotten better. It's been, I think, 5 years. I think it's been 5 years of this coverage, or six, and we get more and more excited. And what's amazing to me, Rich, is how many people say, leading up and then during and after, that it's their favorite, even more so than Derby and Breeders' Cup and Triple Crown and Saratoga and whatever, that it's their favorite days of broadcast of the year, which I sort of am amazed by.
Well, you know what's kind of neat for the listeners out there is, they can obviously follow along with the audio presentation with you and Pete and any other guests, but also you can follow it on the internet. So it's like it's right in front of you. And a lot of folks who are in horse racing and betting and from different parts of the country, they may know of some of the players personally, which adds a lot of flavor. I know myself; I was able to. The report that my Jersey guys did very, very well. Had the three of them, Kenny Jordan and Sean Nolan and Nick Fazzolari, they finished in the top 10% to go on to Sunday and try to make that final table. Unfortunately for them, they did not make the final table, but still an outstanding tournament by those three, and I was just so pleased with their performance. But people know people who are playing in this thing and have a rooting interest.
Oh, there's no doubt. And they also, they're, even if it's somebody that's kind of casually involved in the contest arena, they've heard certain names or they've heard guests over the year that they just identify with, whether it's a certain region of the country, the Canadian group, the Jersey Mafia we talk about, whether it's the Young Guns, it doesn't matter. There's always somebody that's come through. People are now very much used to hearing from the Matisses and, eagerly listen for their insight, because it transcends just the contest arena. But it's invaluable for anybody that wants to play horses. And they love, a lot of people love it when we get to the final table. Because simultaneously, somebody like Paul and Duke, they're not only talking the game theory portion, but also handicapping on the fly. Because for the most part, nobody really, they may have glanced at the races early in the day, but pretty much the whole final table contingent is making their decisions based on what they're seeing that minute. They literally are looking at seven races and trying to plan a strategy in what, 15, 20 minutes, the half an hour they have between the time the semifinal ends and the final table starts. On that topic, in fact, Rich, I mean, your thoughts, because we talked a lot over the 3 days, and there's some very good discussions going on, even after the initial rancor and name-calling and lunacy. A lot of that is settled down, and every year that seems to happen immediately, Sunday night and Monday. But then there's some very, even the people who are critical, they want to be heard, and they want to explain why they're frustrated by certain aspects of the contest and some of the rule mechanisms, and there's some very good analysis going on right now. I saw where Tony Joe pointed out Steve D. He broke out the way that Tom Goldsmith won and kind of broke out the average prices. Tony Joe discussed what he did Sunday night. He literally got home Sunday night and ran 50,000 Monte Carlo simulations to see if betting 19-1 shots was the right way. And in his simulations, the best way to get to Sunday was betting 19-1 shots.
Yeah, I was following that thread on Twitter, and it was really interesting to read. And, you know, the beauty of all the people that are commenting, even the critics, and I won't call them haters because I don't think they're haters, but they are critical. I think they care. And if you don't care, then we're not going to hear from you. But if you do care and you want to make something better, then and certainly lend your voice, your credence, your ideas, your ingenuity, and to try to make something improved for the next year and down the road. So I certainly don't mind when, you know, people are saying something or have a point to make because they care enough to want to make the product better and to make it more inclusive for everybody.
From your perspective, and you were an early not convert, but an early participant in the contest arena. Now, talk a little about what you think makes what kind of changes can make it more equitable or makes it more exciting. I mean, I guess it depends in some case, to some degree. It depends on what aspect of it you find lacking, and you know, there's also I think people see what they want to see in these results. I mean, just because yes, there were some crazy bombs on Saturday, it doesn't mean that there's going to be crazy bombs every year on Saturday. It's a weird dynamic, and not every player that made it to the final table, you know, made it there on the back of you know, cap horses. You needed to have a cap horse. Duke said specifically he got where he got on Sunday, and he missed the cap horses on Saturday that were both two of the three mandatory cap horses. I think he had one of the high prices of the mandatories, but he built his bankroll. But even though he missed the big cap horses.
Well, you know, I'll say this. Well, Duke is obviously one of the best tournament players and handicappers around. But, you know, if you take a look at the winning scores over the past, you know, history of the NAC, some scores like we just had were over $400, but not all scores are that high. And when scores are a little lower, you know, whether it's a 360 or 320 or whatever, I think it measures the kind of action that people were able to play to get to that point. And it doesn't always mean, as you said, Steve, you need cap horses left and right. There's a lot of grinders who do well in tournaments. I know Tony's, report talking about 19-1 shots, but there's a lot of people who just feel uncomfortable trying to play that as a steady diet if it's not something they do on a regular basis. You know, and they start, you know, would rather grind out the 10-1s, the 6-1s, the 5-1s, and just try to link a lot of those together. And if the final score for the tournament is not bolstered by cap horses, then they've got a fighting chance. So, you know, there's different ways to skin the rabbit, so to speak. You know, and a lot depends on your personality and how you like to play.
I agree. And Pete and I were talking about this yesterday, that, you know, even if, like in the case of Tony Joe's analysis that he did, and he wrote that piece for Pete, I think there's more of a likelihood and a scenario that, given how many players pick a number, and you've explained this to prospective contest players many times, you generally go into these settings and you have a number in mind, and if it's 150, I mean, are you going to hit three horses whose value equals $50, or are you going to get there with a $50 horse, two $20 horses, three $16 horses? I suppose it depends on your strike rate, and your strike rate based on each of the areas in which you delve. I mean, if you're a chalk player that doesn't reach for anything over, let's say, 12-1 or 15-1, well, then you're going to have to hit a lot of singles and doubles. If you're Dave Kingman, you're going to have to hit three home runs, right? I think you summarized it perfectly.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, using your same. By the way, thank you for mentioning Dave Kingman, because I'm a lifelong Mets fan, so he's always near and dear to me. But working backwards, I think to make the Sunday top 10%, I believe it was right around 290, if I'm not mistaken, Steve. But just to use that number and work it. Say, for example, if someone set a goal of trying to make $125 on day one, $125 on day two. I know that only adds up to 250, so people, please stop screaming into your radio. But the thing is, if you get to your target of 125 and you still have 1, 2, 3, 4 bullets left, then you're in a great position to move forward. And, that would have allowed you to, gain the additional 40 points to get to 290. So, but, 125, I'm just throwing that out as a number, Steve, is certainly a reachable goal as a target. And then, as they say, if you got more bullets left, then you've done a great job, and you've got yourself a chance to get even higher than that 125 on each of the days. So, there's different ways to look at this thing. And if you're grinding out, a bunch of, 15, 20, $25 horses, you can still get there, absolutely, if your handicapping's good and you win those photo finishes.
Well, and one of the other big winners, in addition to, everybody, the 72 players that cashed on the tournament from 800,000 to 10,000. I thought one of the big winners, obviously, was Bally's. People that either hadn't been to Bally's for years, had never been to Bally's, they certainly came off as a gracious host, also well positioned on the strip in terms of getting other places. I thought there was a lot of positives on that front, and we thank everybody at Caesars. And of course, next year when we get there, the Caesars Corporation won't be the same entity. They're in the process of being sold, and so I don't know what how things will change and how it'll impact. Might not be evident at all, but that is happening.
Yeah, that is in the cards. I had a chance to talk to Bill Sattler, who I've known for a long time. He's one of the vice presidents for Racing Sports, and he's been there a long time, Steve. And he told me that they had signed a 2-year contract with the NTRA, but they are very interested in keeping the contract and moving forward with it. So he said they put a lot of effort into trying to do as good a job as they can, and I think they succeeded in many, many, many areas. So I tip my cap to them. But they definitely want the event because, the weekend before you had the Super Bowl, so you had a sold-out hotel. Then you got the NAC, you got a sold-out hotel. So these places look at it like having another convention coming to town, and convention business is really what propels the engine in this town. You want those big blocks of people coming here.
Well, we'll be back. We'll be back next February.
Yeah.
and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Sounds really good, Steve. And again, a tremendous pleasure to be with you and Pete during the past week at Bally. Really enjoyed
Can't thank you enough. Rich Eng, one of our prime co-hosts of the 3 days, just tremendous. Rich Eng for Pro Pick on Twitter and at racedaylasvegas.com for Rich's Southern California analysis. I want to thank Andy Simoff. It was great to get Andy back on the show. Haven't talked to him in ages, on air anyway. Dick Powell, Tony Black, who was incredibly frank today, as he always is. Steve Haskin and Rich. Thanks for Deja on the board. Some good action today. Once again, I didn't get a chance to handicap a couple of races. There's a good race at Fairgrounds it's too late. We're not going to get the unbelievable. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm botching it. Big day tomorrow. That's all. Weekend recap. All right? Weekend preview. Talk to you in the morning.